Hello, my loves. Welcome back to a new episode of the Next Level Social Podcast. I'm your host, Ayla. And as always, I'm so excited and honored and grateful and all the things to have you here for another episode of the show. And y'all, we are in for a very spicy treat today because I have a very special guest to introduce you to. I have been following this woman for a while on social media. I love everything that she does, her branding, her social, her podcast, her multiple businesses. We have her here on the show, and I can't wait to dive into her and introduce her to you if you're brand new to her. We have the one and only Hannah Nieves here. She is a tech founder, a speaker, a podcast host, a business advisor, a new mama. With a keen eye for designing intentionally integrated brands, Hannah has established herself both as a tastemaker and advisor to founders and businesses who, like herself, are striving to grow beyond their business. Hannah believes that as a founder, you don't have to choose between building a successful business or a beautiful life. She really believes that you live and work. You can live and work together, both of these harmoniously. And I've seen her actually implement this on her branding, which I love, and I can't wait to ask her about today. Through her expertise in positioning, growth strategy, and personal branding, Hannah bridges the gap between living and working to develop brands and experiences that last a lifetime. As a tech founder, speaker, podcast host, and founder of the HN Brands, Hannah is a leading movement of founders who are building and leading intentional lifestyles and influential businesses. Hannah is a true multidisciplinary visionary who knows the complexities of running multiple brands and what it takes to scale and grow profitable and impactful brands. I'm so excited to have her here. Without further ado, everybody, give a warm welcome to Hannah. Hi, Hannah.
Hello. Wow, that was so incredible. And thank you for that. I'm so excited to be here.
Isn't that so funny, listening to someone like speak about you like you're not there, but you're actually there?
I love that.
I know.
Thank you for having me.
Oh my gosh, thank you. We've been chatting. I feel like we've been chatting just on social media for a while now, trying to lock in our calendars, and we're both so busy and you're a new mama. So I'm so happy to have you here. Why don't I hand the floor over to you? And I know I kind of gave a little high level intro overview there, but tell my people a little bit more about yourself. What is your story? How did you get started in this online world? Kind of give us like the spark note version. I know it's a very big open-ended question, but tell the people, who is Hannah? And
yeah, so it's so funny when anyone ever asks this, I always have to start off with, if anyone's into human design listening to this, I'm a manifesting generator, which in my design, I do multiple things, and that's just the way that my energy works. So manifesting generator, Capricorn, Enneagram 3, if anyone's into all of those things. But you know, I started my business out a few years back, and prior to that was in corporate America, and that's where I started, you know, and went into burnout several times. And it wasn't until burnout of 2019 when I actually started my business. And that was really the catalyst to get started, which I'm sure a lot of people listening to the show can probably resonate with that. So fast forward, I was a one woman show to now. We have multiple entities. So my specialty is in PR and personal branding and visibility. And then so I was advising and consulting with clients in that capacity. And then I created HN House, which is really the community where we have masterminds and retreats for other multi-passionate founders. And then I also have this Hudson Studio and this Hudson Farm, which is the life component, right? And that's where like the whole concept of redefining the way that we live and work comes into play. So we have these really immersive experiences. And I'm based in New York. So really have just like a conglomerate of brands at this point, for what it seems like 59 companies, but also surrounded around the ethos of redefining the way that we live and work. So
I love that. Yes, I'm also a manifesting generator, by the way, which makes sense now that I know you. And yeah, you have so many things going on. It's so cool and inspiring to watch. You've built such an empire. And I love everything that you do. I love your branding. And that's so cool. I also started my business after a major burnout. I ended up in the hospital literally thought I was having a heart attack and dying, but really it was just a panic attack of overwhelm because I was just working so dumb. But that it's so sad that that is what happens to so many of us, especially manifesting generators, because we think we can do it all. And I mean, we can, but there's just smarter ways to do it, which I want to talk about today with you and how you've grown and scaled. So I have so many questions to ask you. I was reading through them before we chat. I'm like, I really don't think we're going to get through them all, but maybe we can do like a two-parter because I feel like you have so much wealth of knowledge that you can share with my audience. So I would love to talk to you first and foremost a little bit around money. Money has been a very hot topic in my world lately with my clients, with myself. I'm going for my highest revenue month of my career so far right now. It's a really big goal. It's overwhelming. I've claimed it. I claimed it on the podcast. I'm halfway there, but a lot of money stuff has been coming up, not just for me, but for my audience. We know, you know, the conversations around money can sometimes be uncomfortable. So as a seven-figure entrepreneur, I would love to dive into your thoughts around money and money mindset. So I guess, what are some of the money mindset beliefs that you have that you think have attributed to your success? And was like money conversations always easy for you? I'm curious to know about that too.
Ooh, money mindset is like a big, big thing, especially for entrepreneurs specifically. But like, you know, one of the things when it comes to money mindset is that it's an ever evolving journey. And, you know, people think that when we have these experiences, when it relates to money, that it just goes away when you start making it. It's like, no, it just gets amplified the more money that you make. So for me personally, I actually started my business and I had a lot of money mindset blocks. And a lot of that was due to generational trauma. A lot of that was due to my past experiences. And so I had to work to heal through that first. And it took a while, I'm not going to lie. And then on the flip side, as we were growing, right, then the opposite started to happen. I was almost too nervous to lose it all, right? So then I was starting to play a lot smaller than I normally was. So when it comes to money mindset as a whole, I think it's really important to really analyze, number one, like, what is your relationship to money right now? Because I know, at least for me, like I grew up with a single mom, you know, who had multiple kids, and, you know, we also struggled. I was adopted when I was also 18 by my stepdad. Mm-hmm. So I just had a crazy upbringing. So my relationship with money was really tainted. And it's interesting because as an entrepreneur, your relationship with money is going to directly impact the way that you make investments, the speed at which your business grows. And I hate to say that, but it really is so, so true. If you do not heal your relationship with money, it's going to be very difficult to grow, because as an entrepreneur, it's like you have a mirror being held up to you the entire time, and it's reflecting all the things that you have not either worked on or the things that you need to work on to get to the next level.
Oh, it's so true. That all it's so, so true. And it's such an intense conversation, especially like when you bring up the generation and the parents. Like, I don't know about you, but I was taught like it was such a faux pas to talk about money. I remember at one time asking my dad how much money he made, and I remember him like almost scolding me, being like, that's such a rude thing to ask. Like, it's none of your business. Never mind. And like instantly like, oh God, this is bad. Like, I'm being scolded for talking about money. And so our generation, especially in like in the online coaching space, where they're you're almost supposed to talk about money, and but then it's still uncomfortable. So yeah, I love that perspective, and I think it's you're right. I love that you said you're going to be capped and you actually won't be able to continue to grow and scale if you don't work through some of this money trauma that you have. Okay, so what are some of your tips then around letting go of negative beliefs around money? How do you like, do you talk to yourself? Is there books that you read? I know.
So many things. I love feature pacing. So if anyone is not familiar with what feature pacing is, you need to have a routine with this too, right? So there's the more, you know, spiritual side of things, right? Which is more like tapping into the subconscious, spiritual, but also science-based too. If anyone is not familiar with Joe Dispenza, he's fantastic with this, but tapping into the subconscious, and it's rewiring your mind, right? But then there is this practice called feature pacing. It's something that I do every single day. And if you're listening to this right now, you can pause this and do this and come back. But feature pacing is essentially where you either write down, or you can like, you know, do an audio, a video, however you'd like. And you are going to recite the day, the year, your life as if it already happened. And, you know, you hear those things in the online world, which is like, step into your seven-figure self. And you're like, what the hell does that even mean? Yeah. But the interesting thing is that your mind actually doesn't know the difference between where you are now and where you want to go, right? Yeah. So if you're having those, you know, mindset blocks, and especially around money specifically, it's, you have to get into the mindset of, A, okay, if I am a, you know, seven-figure founder, like, how do I make decisions? How do I make investments, right? And you start to embody that type of belief system there. But it's so interesting because now after working with so many founders, I can spot within like 2 seconds what's holding someone back just based off of the words that they tell themselves. So that's the second thing I'll say too is, take an inventory on how you even communicate with money. I'll give you an example. Like, I don't use the word expensive in my vocabulary. Like, there's certain words I just don't use, and you have to shift the perspective. So even just take a note. How do you talk about money? Do you complain about money? What's your relationship with it? Because at the end of the day, it's really an energetic exchange. At the end of the day, there's an infinite amount of it because there's an energetic exchange at the end of the day. So those are just a few tips, but I can talk about this for hours. So
yeah, no, I love that. That's so helpful. I love that you don't use the word expensive. I don't know if I do. I'm sure I probably do, but I'm going to catch myself, I think, going forward now. I have been I've been diving into money mindset really hard for the last, I would say, 3 years as I like really went all in on my coaching business. And do you know who Amanda Francis is? Yeah. I love Amanda Francis. I've read her book so many times, and I love that she's just like, her approach, you know, it's just a fucking $1 million. I can hear her say it over and over again, but it really is like, you're right. It's just, it's infinite. There's no cap. It is just $1 million. If you look at it that way, of course, there's things that we as business owners and online creators need to do to be able to obtain it. But the more we can lean into just truly having an abundant mindset, I know energetically it comes back. And every time I do, you know, have to make or choose to make an investment, it's always scary at first, but it always comes back. And I truly, truly do believe that. And I right now am getting ready to hire a new mentor. Whenever I'm being called to enter a new level, that usually means that I want somebody new or to guide me through it. And there's somebody that I've been going back and forth in, and she sent me, you know, her rates, and I'm like, whew, okay. Like, I know, like, you got to pay to play, baby. And I'm getting ready, but there's also some stuff coming up. But I know that it's required. And I also know that if I'm going to be online projecting mentorship, that if I'm not making investments that I want other women to hold space for me, that doesn't feel aligned as well. So I'm curious to know, what are some investments that you have made or maybe wish that you've made that you think have attributed to you growing and scaling your multiple businesses? Is there any that come to mind that might encourage others to do the same?
So I've been investing since day one of my business, and I think it's absolutely key. It's one of those things that I don't think even in my entire journey of running these companies, I've never not invested, whether it's in a consultant, a specialist, a mastermind, you know, a team member. And I've made a lot of great investments. I've also made some investments that were not so great, but I don't even look at them as not so great. I've always learned a big lesson in them. So even if it's some, like, I just had one recently that was a pretty big investment. And I learned a really hard lesson. So I will say that. But listen, I've invested in one-to-one, invested in masterminds that are $50,000. I mean, like, a kind of across the board. And with every single one, there's always that energetic exchange of, okay, like, why am I actually going into this? And what is ROI that I'm looking for from this type of experience? And I think that's like biggest thing too. You know, the bigger you play, right? Like, that's where the investments start to increase from there. But it's also getting really intentional as to, like, why you're making that investment. Are you making that investment because of an unhealed ego? Or are you making that investment because you actually know that this is going to be the next step for you in your business? Because I think also, as well, there's equally a lot of people in the online world that make these, you know, big investments, but it's out of an ego. It's out of, oh, well, I can invest in this and my business is at this level. But really, it's like, okay, does it make the most sense for you on where you are? So I've made so many investments across the board. But to be honest, they've also, like, led us to where we are now. So,
right. That's, I never thought about it that way, like from an ego place. That's a really good perspective too, to check yourself. Like, why am I actually doing this? Am I doing this because I need to have this team member? And I'm at that place. I've had a couple clients like that right off the get-go start and launch their businesses and then hire a whole bunch of things out because they think that that's what it takes to be an online business. And then they're not making any money. And all of their money is going to these like seven different people that they have on their team. And I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. Like, yes, we got to delegate to elevate, but like, we also have to scale back and make sure that we're at this place where investing in all of these different contractors or even employees, if that's the case, mm-hmm. really makes sense. So I love that perspective of really checking ourselves before we wreck ourselves. And I also love that for me too, even as I'm getting ready to make an investment. Exactly that. Like, am I investing in the right person and for the right reasons? I mean, I'm, believe I have been following this person for a while and watching her, and she's exactly where I want to be. But still, there's lots coming up to it, and you really want to make sure it's the right choice because, you, like you said, like we're spending thousands of dollars here, and so what is the ROI, and whether that is like for me or for anyone else listening, what is the return on investment? Is it actual money or is it networking? Is it simply mindset and energetics? There's so many different programs and opportunities and investments we can be making out there. So I also really love that perspective of really checking in with what is the return on investment before actually returning, before actually investing and checking yourself there. So, and I've made bad investments too. We learn from them though. There's no bad decisions.
We all do.
it is what it is, but it's literally what makes the business world go around. So, okay. I would love to know as well, you have so many brands yourself, and then obviously you've worked with so many different entrepreneurs and founders on the branding side. So this is again, all these questions are pretty big. They're not small questions, but you give us what you feel is necessary. What, from your perspective as a branding mentor and someone that is in brand, what would you say defines or helps keep your brand and the brands that you work with relevant? What's some things that come to mind when it comes to branding specifically and relevance?
Well, when it comes to branding specifically, and you know, when it comes to like a personal branding, I'll kind of hone in there a little bit. Okay. It's really just making sure, number one, that your brand aligns with you, because your clientele is naturally going to up level as you up level. I'm sure you even see this with your own clientele, right? Like when you started your business, you know, X amount of years ago, you probably have a different clientele than you do now. And that's also attributed to you and your own evolution and your own refinement. And I think what's so interesting about like even our brands as well is like we've been through so many refinements over the last few years. And that's truly been from me up leveling, us up leveling, and also like just staying a few steps ahead of like where we want to be. And this just goes back to, again, like what is the intention and as to why your brand is here? What do you want to be known for? And I think the most successful online personal brands are the ones that are most authentic too. I think that's like the biggest thing, especially in the online world of coaching, consulting, and services, right? Like it's a very unregulated industry. So the barrier to entry is very low. And as long as you have a credit card or can afford and, you know, nice branding, you can equally have people who have nice branding, but like lack customer service, right? So that is another piece that I want to make sure that everyone really like hones in on, because when we talk about this concept of how do I build a luxury brand or a luxury premium service? It's not just the branding. It's not just the marketing. It really is the customer service and, you know, the standards of excellence of which you like operate your business, which surprisingly enough is something that is not talked about enough, but that goes to impact your reputation and that impacts your brand as a whole. So I love branding, and it's something too, like even if you were to go and look at our visual identity over the last few years, you can even see all the micro changes every single year as we've pivoted to.
Oh my gosh, you literally just dropped like 17 golden nuggets, but I love them all and I wholeheartedly agree with all of them. I think the authenticity piece by far above all else. There is, like you said, everyone has a credit card. Everyone can do a photo shoot. And there's so many replications right now that I'm seeing, like, over, whether it's through like content or colors or fonts or offers. And so I think when you can just truly lean into authentically who you are as a personal brand or even as a product and a service-based brand, that genuinely will always keep your brand relevant and let you be the trendsetter and the leader. Like that quote I always say, and it's not my quote, but no one is you, and that is your superpower. I think when it comes to building a brand, as long as you can like focus in your own lane and have your blinders up and really lean into that, I think you will always find relevance in your space. Of course, keeping up with trends and you know moving and doing all the things, we know all of that, but that authenticity piece, that's so key. And I love that you mentioned and brought up customer service. Client retention and customer service is so important to me. And I actually just talked about this on my podcast last week. And you're right, it's not talked about in this space. I feel like, I don't know about you and your clients, but I'm always hearing like, I need more. I need new. I need my, this reel needs to go off. This reel's tanking. I need to go viral. Da, da, da. And I'm just like, but like, honey, are you loving on those that are there? Like, I don't know about you. And like, there's so much lifetime value that is just sitting there if you love on your current customers and your current people that are in your world. So I love that you said that as well. Okay. I also want to kind of pivot a little bit over into a new role that you have been experiencing in your life, which is motherhood. This is your first baby too, right? So you just like, how many months now are you?
2 months. So she's actually 2 months. Yeah. 2 months. I'm like, wait a second. It's crazy. 2 months ago, birthed a human.
That's wild. And I was talking to you before you had your baby, and I know that you took some time off, and I love that it seems anyways from the outside looking in, correct me if I'm wrong, that you have found a really nice balance and an ebb and flow on how you're running your business, how you're slowly easing back into business while being this newfound mom. At least it seems that way. Correct me if I'm wrong. Maybe it's a giant shit show. I don't know. Social media is wild. But I guess I want to talk to you about motherhood and being a mom. I am not a mom yet, but it's definitely something that I talk about on the podcast all the time. I desire and long to be, and I'm hopeful that that will be part of my journey one day. But I'm not going to lie, I also am scared shitless because I have so many entrepreneurs that are also moms, and like, they scare me sometimes. Like, they're like, this is crazy. This is overwhelming. Like, breastfeeding on calls. Like, I feel like I'm like, oh my gosh, am I ready for this? Even though it also, I know, is the most beautiful thing. So I digress. So I would love to know, how are you managing? How are you navigating this new role and finding your balance both in business and motherhood?
Ooh, the motherhood chapter, I have to say, and I was very, very similar to you too, where I was questioning, you know, like, can I do this? You know, is this something that I can actually do? And, you know, I consulted with a few of, you know, my friends, my peers who are also, you know, moms themselves. But, you know, I think there is definitely something to say when, you know, I didn't have a kid before I started this business. You know, I grew these companies, scaled them to 7 figures. And like, you know, we had all these milestones and success so rapidly. So it was kind of the question of like, well, how do I transition this to like, you know, open up this new season of motherhood? And so I had a lot of fears around that. I openly talk about this, but about a year and a half ago, I actually found out I was pregnant at the time, but ended up having a miscarriage. And that was kind of like the start of like this whole like new chapter. And it really like opened me up to thinking, no, I actually really want this. Because actually before that, I actually didn't know if I wanted kids. My husband and I were like, oh, we love our marriage. We, you know, love being, not single, but we love being, you know, childless and just being able to go anywhere we please. And I will say we've done a lot of planning, you know, in my, during my pregnancy, we planned my mat leave like 6 months ahead. And, you know, I still was able to ease back in, but I had the support from the team. It is the most beautiful season, the most intense season. But it's the most rewarding too. And it just gives you this whole new perspective of like legacy and purpose that I didn't really have before. But really like the key I have to say, and, you know, I will say for any of the moms that might be listening to this right now that have, you know, a baby that might be colicky, or maybe your baby went to the NICU, you know, thankfully I did not have to deal with that, but that is a whole different world when you're dealing with babies like that. But things have been okay. And, you know, I'm so grateful for that, but I think a lot of it has come down to the systems that we've set up prior to me having the baby, because if we did not have the systems, I would not be in this place mentally.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Well, congratulations. And I love seeing you in this new role, like watching from afar. And that makes me feel so much better, to be honest, that you're loving it and you're finding balance. And it's definitely something that I always have known, but I'm still not going to lie. There is fear, but that's just because it's the unknown, and that's anxiety 101, is the lack of control and the fear of the unknown. But you're making it look good. And so, okay, I need to know then, like, please, I'm asking selfishly for myself, what are these systems that you're referring to that you have time off? How did that work? Is it team? Is it automation? Is it funnels? What are some things that you have implemented into your business for you actually to be able to take some freaking, how long is your maternity too, by the way? I don't even know.
So it's interesting because my mat leave, I think, was actually shorter than a lot of my friends. But I went out on mat leave in early December, and I'm still just easing back. Next week is actually my first like full week back. So what I did leading up to that was we looked at like a few functional areas. We looked at sales, we looked at operations, and we looked at marketing and said, okay, how can we remove Hannah from the conversation of these things? So we looked at all these different areas and we were able to automate. Now we still do one-to-one. So that's also something to be considerate of. If you are solely like a one-to-one practitioner of any capacity, this will be a little bit tough. You know, a lot of our business is one-to-many, so it was a little bit easier. So we were able to like automate those areas, come up with reporting for those areas. And then every single Friday, so once I went out on mat leave, every Friday I would get a report from the team that literally, and this is a template I give all my clients, it gives me an update as to where things are, where are leads, where are sales, where are conversions, you know, where are clients. So they would have check-ins with clients, project updates. So I had a pulse on the scorecard every single week. So I could see what was going well, what wasn't. Sales calls, we were able to pass off to my CMO. So really I started to become, you know, replaceable in the business, which was really cool. So that process was great. And what was nice was because, you know, I didn't have the expectation of having to be on client calls. I was actually able to work on some of the fun creative projects and the things that I wanted to work on, but I haven't had time to. And I was able to do that without any pressure because no one needed anything from me during that time. And that felt so good. And I will say that's the biggest thing, is that you just don't know how you're going to feel after you birth a human. And, you know, hormones are real. And for some women, you know, it's really intense, you know, and postpartum depression is real. You know, thankfully, knock on wood, I haven't experienced that yet, but it's also building your business in a way that if you were to experience those things, your business is not relying on you to survive, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. No. And it's so true. Like I'm so blessed for you and so grateful that on your behalf that you are able to create your business to the level that it's at, where you have a team that can take over. That's such an interesting thought, to be kind of replaced in your own business. For me, I'm not quite there yet, at all, to the slightest. I am the brand solely, like Ayla is the brand. So it definitely has me thinking, and I've been, you know, watching you, and which is why this whole year for me, I'm really trying to focus on scaling through automation. I have so many self-study courses that I want just kind of selling all of the time, and really starting to set myself up now for when this season may enter my life, which hopefully, I mean, between you and I, and I guess all my listeners, this year would be really nice. I've been with my husband since we were literally 20 years old. I'm now 34. It feels like it could be time. But anyways,
I'm so excited.
You give me hope, and I love hearing about all of that. I literally just need you to teach me how to do that and take myself out and let
anytime.
Go. I think that is my issue, is letting shit go. Is like, I need to just be able to delegate more, even though I have so much, but not enough. not enough. Mm-hmm. So I need to work on that and take my ego, I think, out of it. So thank you. This conversation, this part has been super helpful. Okay. Well, speaking of my relationship, I know I saw somewhere, whether it was one of your podcasts or maybe an Instagram post. I know you speak about your relationship and it's something that it seems you have such a really strong mm-hmm. foundation in, which I also look up to. So mm-hmm. how are you prioritizing your relationship on the home front now, being a mom and still running this business? Is this something that you can advise future Ayla on? And I know mm-hmm. so many other women listening to can relate and probably would like to know.
Yeah, and this is an interesting thing too that I also noticed that a lot of people really didn't talk about, which is like how much support, especially when you're running a business, you know, and just in general, or 6-7 figures, whatever it is, like when you are running a business as a woman and also a mom, it takes a village. And like you hear that, but you're like, well, what does it actually mean? You know, like I had my mom, thankfully, and I'm so grateful she was here, was able to stay with me for the first month and a half of my baby being wow. alive and help me with everything between like cleaning and laundry and cooking. And,
wow.
and it was the most beautiful thing. And I'm so grateful for that time because it allowed me to really ease into motherhood. But, you know, no one really told me like the support you actually need. And I've been talking about this, but like, you know, we have a nanny and I'm open about that. And I openly share that because like, there's just no way. There's no way for me to be able to have the caliber of these businesses without having support at home. And, you know, old Hannah would have been very shameful of like, oh, well, I don't need help. I can do this myself. And listen, I have some friends that do. I have some friends that they don't have any childcare. But for me, I also wanted to feel that support at home because my husband doesn't work at home. So we have support at home. We have a nanny. And it has been really helpful. And I'm so eternally grateful that we are in a place where we can have that. Because it also allows us to be able to have those moments of going out to dinner, you know, have that like one-to-one time, because, you know, they always say in the first few months of, you know, your baby being born, it can feel like there's two ships passing in the night. And it really is real, right? And if you yeah. don't prioritize your marriage, your relationship, the same way you're prioritizing your business and your baby and all the things, that's the first thing to go. So that's like the biggest thing I will say. We are not perfect by any means, but I think the biggest thing for me has been letting go of control, which I'm sure you just talked about it before, but letting go of control and asking for help. I was never one to ask for help. Now, I will ask anyone for help and I have no shame.
Oh, I love that. That, you know what? And it is so true. I watch my sister-in-law and my brother-in-law. They're our best friends. We have all grown up together. And my sister-in-law's two daughters are my god. Well, one of them is my goddaughter. They're both my nieces. And we just pretend that they're our kids because we don't have kids. Like, we love them so much. My sister-in-law, they just had another baby. The baby's 5 months old. And I watch her and they don't have a nanny and their parents are in Saskatchewan. So like we step in when we can, but sometimes I watch her and I'm like, I just don't know how and she's an online business owner herself. And I'm like, I don't know how you do it. And I love that you're able to have a nanny and you're in that place. And I have a couple other friends who have nannies too. And I just know what mm-hmm. gifts nannies are and how much they help, and moms too, obviously. So yeah, mm-hmm. I will 100% make my mom move in with me. I know that no matter what,
tried to bribe my mom.
I'm like, you need to come, mom. You can sleep with me every single night. And I need it so much. And I'm so lucky. My mom lives 5 minutes away, but I still feel like I'll be like, come and be with, I know. So that's also a really good reminder, and just asking for help, and it's okay. And it takes a village. So for all of you mamas listening, like, listen to Hannah, from Anna's mouth to your ears, ask for help, because it's a freaking lot. Okay, so I have a couple other questions I wanted to ask you. I feel like we kind of touched on this, but circling back to business now, I found one of your reels. I loved the branding and the name of it. It said, how to build a cult-like brand. I loved this. So what does this mean? What does cult-like mean to you? And how do you build a cult-like brand that is impactful and intentional? I know we kind of talked about it, but like this mm-hmm. magnetic brand that people are just like obsessed with. What did you mean by that? I loved it.
So the first time I actually was, well, when I was creating that episode and I was thinking about, you know, the brands that like have that cult-like, you know, following. So you think about, say, like a SoulCycle. I don't know if there's any SoulCycles by you, but that was one in New York City that blew up. You think about like a Restoration Hardware. I mean, like there's so many, there's several brands like that too. But when I think about like a SoulCycle,
Taylor Swift right now, I'm like freaking out. I'm like, what is happening? I feel like we could have a whole episode on what that girl is doing with her branding. But anyways, like a Taylor Swift, it's insane.
It's like a Taylor Swift situation where you just have this, you know, almost like obsession. But like when you think about a cult-like brand, you have this following, they're loyal to you, they're magnetic to you, and like what actually goes into that. And there's a few things. Number one is obviously there's visual brand identity, which I'm not going to go too deep into, but like the visual identity is a big one, right? Like just knowing that brand without actually seeing that brand. Like if I saw SoulCycle without seeing the logo, I would tell it's a SoulCycle location. Now, when it comes to the why, what I think is so fascinating when I studied these brands was more along the lines of like, okay, like what's that mission and or what's the ethos that people really like rally behind, you know, like why do people, you know, for example, like the Stanley Cup, like why do people are obsessed with this cup and this tumbler, you know, that they're raving about, right? But it's more about the ethos, the mission behind the brand, that's number one. The story behind the brand is another one too. The visual identity is another one. And also the experience. When you think about these brands that have these like almost like cult-like followings, like you think about Restoration Hardware, right? It's this luxury experience when you go and you purchase furniture from them and you create your home and identity, you know, with their products. And I think that's like in a kind of like a nutshell, everything as a whole. When you think about the brand, it's like this living and breathing ecosystem, which I think is so cool. But it takes time. And that's another thing too, is that a lot of people think that, you know, building a brand just happens overnight and there's this slow evolution. And there's like the saying, what is it that like, you have a brand if you've been in business for like for over 8 years, like once you've made it for like the 7 and 8 year mark, you have a brand that's there. And I think that's one that, you know, we're all striving for at the end of the day, but it takes like so much time and refinement to actually even get there.
Yeah. Ooh, I love that. And I also love like what is the story and the why, right? Like we hear this all the time, but it really is so true. Like, you know, that saying, people don't buy what you do, they buy why you do it. And that's such an important piece of branding. And yeah, think of, I still can't stop thinking about Taylor. I mean, after that Super Bowl, I'm like, my whole thing is Taylor Swift. I'm like, what is happening in this world right now? How has this, I mean, I know how, but also coming to your point of like 8 years, girlfriend's been making music since I was like 14. That's a long freaking time that she's been in the game. But like, look at us, we're sitting here talking about it. And like that, it's just, it's everywhere. And she has like a cult-like brand. So what would Taylor do, you guys? Okay, Hannah, tell my people how, like, what offers do you have right now? How can people find you? Do you have anything up and coming? Do you have any freebies people can opt in? Any, tell the people what you have in the works in your world. So let them know.
Absolutely. So we have several different things, and I'll share, we have a PR playbook that we are coming out with that's completely free. I'll give you guys a link so you can download it, and it really is helping you up-level your digital presence so you can leverage PR. So I'll give you the link to that. But depending on where your business is at, we have a few different things. We have our Thrive Collective Mastermind, which we're celebrating year 4 of running that, which is wild to me. And then we have some one-to-one options that are available as well. But the really exciting project that I've been working on for the past year has been Mason, which is our AI-powered private network for women founders that either A, have a business over $1 million a year or a personal net worth of over $1 million, or they've sold a company for over $1 million.
Cool.
Which I'm just so excited to share more about. So this is probably one of the first podcast episodes where I'm actually naming the name of the platform. So we are coming out with that in the next month, which is so exciting. So many different ways of getting support in your business just depends on what level that you're at, but I'll give you that free resource because it is juicy, really juicy.
Oh my gosh. Well, I'm so honored that you shared that with me and my community, and any support I can do to help you and talk about that and promote it, please send it my way. I'll definitely leave that PR freebie download in the show notes. And I will also leave links to Hannah's website and her social. Definitely y'all go follow her, her branding, her messaging. I've been a fan for a while, so definitely go and social stalk her, if nothing else. Okay, my last question that I always ask every guest, again, all my questions I feel like are so big and broad, but it's all good. We're here for it. What would your advice be to the female entrepreneurs, either current or aspiring, be today?
Ooh, the big one is really trusting. Trusting your intuition is probably the number one thing I would say, because I work with so many like ex-corporate and or women who are, you know, are healing that masculine energy side of themselves. And listen, I was that person, and I, in the beginning stages, started my business and felt out of alignment with what I was doing. And I didn't listen to that side of myself. And I see this happen all the time in business owners. So trust your intuition, trust your gut, and also trust yourself and have that belief that you actually can create that vision that you have in your mind.
Ooh, I love that so much. And that's so aligned with everything we've been talking about on this podcast the last couple of months, slash in my mastermind, in my community. I feel like everyone right now is diving into understanding more and learning more about the masculine and the feminine sides, both in business and relationship and life. And it's such an interesting conversation. I'm actually, one of my clients, shout out to Natalie, is a female embodiment coach, and I'm coaching her on how to launch her business. But all along, she's been like teaching me stuff, and it's so interesting. And I, like you said, like many of the female entrepreneurs that are listening, probably lean into a lot of the masculine side of ourselves, which is important. We need that, but we can't forget about the softness and the intuition and the gut. So I absolutely love that. That's so aligned with me and my community and our world, which is also probably why me and you found each other, because you're obviously my people. So thank you so much for being here, and thank you for tuning in to the show. If you found this episode valuable, Hannah and I would be so honored if you took a screenshot. Don't even cut that, Dad. We're going to leave that if we're leaving that. A screenshot of the episode and tag us so we can see who's tuning in. I love, as you know, always knowing who's listening and communicating with you and chatting. All right. We'll sign off for there. Have a beautiful day and a beautiful week. And I will see you guys next time. Bye, Hannah. Thank you so much.
Bye. Thank you.